The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Charles Barkley will jump on board with us. He'll come in a little early at 10:15. We'll have Charles with us. Casey Jacobson comes up at 10:35 from FS1, Pac-12 Network. And then we have Talk to the Lopes today with Tom Flood, a terrific job that is going on with GCU Track and Field, heading off to the West Regions and doing very, very well in the WAC this year on the track and field front with Tom Flood. Looking forward to Charles here in about 10 minutes on the Suns. So obviously, the Suns last night getting the number one pick in the lottery. I was sitting there watching as you were. And as in my home office, Eric was at the Suns last night. And when it got down to the final three, the show took forever. And I understand they're trying to hold the audience and get ratings points, but it drives you crazy, drives me crazy. Just get to the point. And when it came time for Josh Jackson to smile very big and the Suns getting the number one overall pick, the immediate reaction on my end was one of surprise, pleasantly surprised. If you think I like sitting here going through the daily routine of today is day number 2,912 since the Suns had a playoff game. That equates to 96 months. That equates to 416 weeks. If you think I like doing that every day, I don't. But it's to note to the owner over there that figure it out. And I won't say that they figured it out, except that they lost just enough last year. We cannot go through this sort of thing year after year after year. It didn't work out 2 years ago, or last year's draft, I should say. And so enough of this nonsense. And now that you've gotten rewarded for stinking, you have to get really bad in order to get really good in the NBA. That's just the way that it is when you lay it out. The Suns have now done that. So we'll get into that. What's going on with the Diamondbacks? Yesterday was a busy, busy sports day. There's a lot that was happening over at the Cardinals with OTAs and Josh Rosen and the stuff with Christian Kirk. I was out yesterday at Southern Dunes for an event, a TV event that Golf Channel was putting on involving the longest drive. I played with a guy who, for a living, drives golf balls 370 yards. It's kind of interesting. Pick his brain, like, can you really make a living off this? And how much are you getting paid to? I'm not asking him this. I was wondering, okay, you're out here, we're playing golf, you're hitting at 370 off the tee, and you're not Happy Gilmore-ing it. It's not like he's running up to the ball and all that. He just stood there, even took a couple drivers out of my bag and bombed them 370 and just kind of looked at me. And so it was a really cool event out at Southern Dunes yesterday. And Southern Dunes is going to become a player here, as the PGA Championship is being pursued by TPC Scottsdale, which it is, and other golf courses. Bob Parsons has his interest in what's going on with golf. Just keep an eye on what they're doing out there at Southern Dunes. It's really interesting. So I went over to the Suns side of things last night and sat and watched that, got into the Diamondbacks, and then wrote some. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. You can do that through life insurance. If you do not have life insurance, you are not protecting what matters most. Okay, if something were to happen to you today, are you protected? Go log on, get your free quote online. No waiting, no agent, no hassle right there. It's Sagicor Now. That's Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Charles Barkley here momentarily. So, Eric, last night you're at the Suns. Was there cheering? Was it media being media? Was it media cheering? Was it people pretending to be media cheering? What was the scene?
Well, mostly, Brad, before the draft, there was snickering and bitterness and sarcasm about how excited all the media members will be when they pick Mo Bamba with the fourth pick.
As you've been saying.
And how the Suns are jinxed and Phoenix Sports deserves better, but they never get better when it comes to winning these lotteries.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had quite a few people there for the little viewing party for season ticket holders, and it got down to, you know, the fourth pick, and it wasn't the Suns, and then they went to commercial, and there was a buzz. I mean, there was more of a buzz,
sure,
in the arena last night than there probably was during the entire regular season last year.
Or the last, where is it? The last, where's my note? Or the last 96 months.
Yeah, and the place went crazy when the Kings got the second pick, and it was like, you could see the pigs flying, and people really believed that, you know, that, like, I could have swore I saw, like, a unicorn that was sitting on top of a Talking Stick Resort Arena when I left last night. But it's great. It's good for the Suns. It's finally there is, like, real optimism. Like, wow, they are going to get a franchise player. Just please pick the right guy. And we all know who that is. Don't overthink this, Ryan McDonough. Please.
We'll step aside here and talk to Charles Barkley about it. We'll have Casey Jacobson on the show as well. Eric and I will go further onto this. This will be a five-week topic. But up next, TNT's Charles Barkley, the Chuckster, that's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, before and after the Diamondbacks game. That will be tonight. Now, Charles Barkley joins us. It's always good to have Charles on with TNT and, of course, Valley resident. Charles and the gang do a cool bit called Gone Fishing whenever a team gets eliminated. The last time they did Gone Fishing for the Suns would be 2,912 days ago. It would be 96 months ago. It would be 416 weeks ago. Up until last night, the Suns have had no shot, no chance, nothing at all until they won the lottery. So I want to get Charles on board to get his view of everything. How are you?
I'm good, my brother. Congratulations.
Yeah, I don't have to count days anymore, right?
Man, you know, I was happy for the Suns. You know, I root for the Suns and the 76ers. I'm really excited. And I just hope they don't do anything stupid.
Well, okay, to that end, Robert Sarver, if you're sitting with Robert or you call Robert, what are you telling Robert to do with number one?
Oh, send the card in right now. Take the big kid from Arizona, DeAndre Ayton. Send the card in right now. Don't worry about anything.
No negotiating in the media. None of this, Igor coached the other kid. We could get Bagley. We could trade Dan, like Danny Ainge, Wiley Danny. None of that. Just go get DeAndre.
You know, when I was doing March Madness, I watched every top 25 team play five or six times. So I'm sitting with Clark Kellogg, whose job is that he's been in college basketball a lot longer than me. I said, Clark, that kid from Arizona is the best college player I've seen in the last 3 years. He says, he's the best college player I've seen in the last 20 years. And I'm like, what? He says, Charles, I went and saw him play in person, went to a couple practices. The kid works so hard. He works on his game. He says, I'd be willing to say he's the best college player I've seen in the last 20 years. And that's from a guy who played in the NBA, who worked for the Pacers for 15 years, and has been a college ball analyst for probably 25 years.
They, building a team, because this team needs players, you know that. They've taken a lot of young guys, but you've got a void at point guard, and you have a void in the middle. Building from the middle, that's your view on this one. There's no one that comes close to him. I agree with you, Charles, on this, but there is the debate about who's going to turn this thing around quicker.
Well, listen, if you want to take the foreign kid, good luck. And I want to see the Suns do well. But, listen, I don't know what type of competition he's playing against.
Yeah, yeah.
That would concern me. Like I said, you know, I mean no disrespect. I always worry about foreign players because I just don't know what type of competition they're playing against.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, okay, he's a point guard. Okay, is he playing against Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving, Rondo? Is he playing against those type of guys? My answer would be probably not. I mean, that's my personal opinion. You talk about what point guard you're going to take. I don't think he's playing against those type of players overseas. And those are the type of guys he's going to be playing against in the NBA. But I know that big boy at Arizona, I've watched him play 10 times. And let me tell you something, he's a handful. And he's going to be a better pro because he's not going to have to play against zones. They're not going to be able to sag down on him because Arizona guards were not very good. So it was amazing to me how great he played. That's a testament to his work ethic and ability because Arizona guards never – like, if this kid played with, like, a Steph Curry and a Klay Thompson, that you couldn't cheat off those guys, he would have been even better in college.
I mean, I know that watching the Suns has been a hard watch, and they've added Devin Booker, and they've added Josh Jackson, and T.J. Warren had a nice statistical season. But is there enough here, or is this, Brad, people have got to be patient. This thing was so far into the ditch that it's going to be a couple of years to let this kid develop. He's only played basketball, Charles, organized basketball, 5-6 years. He hasn't played that much. So is the expectation this is going to immediately turning them into a playoff team? I don't think that's realistic myself.
I don't think just him would pick them a playoff team, but he's got a great mentor. You know what a big fan of Tyson Chandler I am.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Tyson's going to make him work hard. But, man, Tyson's been the best big guy on the Suns team. And that's been – and I've said – we said before, I think that's been their biggest problem. I think they got some perimeter players, but they don't know what – your best big guy can't be an old guy. Tyson's their best big guy.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, he reminds me of Moses Malone. He's going to be a great mentor. He's going to make him work hard every day. He's going to teach him how to be a man, how to be an adult, what Moses Malone did to me. So I think it's going to be a great situation. Let's take your point guard theory.
Right.
That still does not solve your big guy problems.
Correct.
So you already got one guard, okay? Booker's terrific player. So you take a point guard. Let's say you got two terrific guards. You still haven't solved any of your inside needs. You have not taken. I mean, and that's what I think Aiden would do. And like I said, I love the fact that Tyson's going to be there and be a mentor, because the other two big guys, man, I don't know. Y'all see them every day, and y'all got to make a decision on them. But right now, I think Aiden would be your best big guy coming in immediately with Tyson Chandler.
Here's the thing on it. We're talking with Charles Barkley. The thing on it from my end is I simply have seen Robert screw this thing up so many times over the last 8 years that I have to see it to believe it. I cannot just sit here today and jump up and down and say, this is great, because they could screw this up. I don't know if Anthony Bennett is sitting around out there. You know, you take a Greg Oden is sitting around. I don't believe that in the case of Ayton that he's Greg Oden by any shot, Charles. I think he's great. I've seen him play a ton too. But I just don't trust the owner here.
Well, what you will know is, you know, the general manager who I was asked about the Robert Sarver situation is, and the biggest problem with the Suns, Robert, you know, if you're going to hire people, you got to let them do their job. You know, you got to let them do their job. Now, if they screw up, you fire them.
Mm-hmm.
But as an owner, if you hire people and don't let them do their job, that's on him. But listen, I don't know. You say, I'm not going to say anything disparaging about the kid from overseas, because I just don't know enough about him.
That's fine.
But if I got the number one pick in the draft, I'm taking DeAndre Ayton. And I'm going to sleep good at night. Because let me tell you what this is. If you take Aiden and screw up, you can say, everybody said he was the best player. I haven't seen one mock draft where he's not number one.
Right.
But if you pass on Aiden and take the kid from overseas and he doesn't pan out, you are in serious trouble. I mean, cause even if you're going to take Bagley, I love the kid at Texas. I actually think he is the second best player in the draft, in my opinion. I do. I think Mo Bamba is going to be fantastic. I've watched him play 10, 15 times. I like Bagley, but I think Aiden and Bamba are the two best players in the draft, in my opinion. That's just my opinion from just as an analyst. But I'm taking Aiden, and if he doesn't pan out, I can say, hey, everybody thought he was number one. But when you try to outthink the competition, like, let me give you an example.
Sure.
Like, you know, I'm a big NFL fan. Shout out to Josh Rosen. Welcome to Arizona. welcome to Arizona. Shut the hell up, talking about they made 9 mistakes in front of me, but shut the hell up and do your thing, man. Don't worry about that. We're glad to have you in Arizona. Welcome to Arizona. But the guy in Cleveland, you know, and like I say, I will say I'm just a football fan, okay? I don't act like I know about football.
Right.
But I'm taking Barkley and Chubb at 1 and 4. But he says, nah, everybody wants me to take this guy. I'm going to take Baker Mayfield. Okay. Now, That's this Phoenix situation. At least if you take one of those other guys, you're like, well, everybody had him ranked number one. We were all wrong.
Right.
But when you try to think outside the box like you're a genius, that's when you put yourself into harm's way. Like, everybody thinks Aiden is the best player in the draft. And if he doesn't pan out, you can say, hey, everybody had a number one.
How about
How
about this one, Charles? How about the – help me out on this one. Free agents coming here. When you played here, everybody wanted to come to Phoenix. They lined up. Now, Blake Griffin used them last year. LaMarcus Aldridge used them a couple of years ago. They can't – they're going to have to draw free agents here at some point, impact free agents in order to turn this thing completely around, I would think.
Agree. I think – but it's going to have to be a low, like a mid it's going to be like a Chris Bosh, like not a prime-time free agent.
Got it.
Like LeBron's not coming to Phoenix. But I think there are some guys who are good players. First of all, the number one the Suns got to do is sit down and have a powwow. What's a keeper and what's not a keeper? You know, you have to make that decision. Like, how many players on the Suns team right now, Brad, are you like, okay, he's going to be on our team when we start getting good?
Mm-hmm. Well, Marquese Chris is a miss, in my opinion. Dragan Bender
is a what?
Miss. They've missed on him. He's not – he shows some potential, Charles, but
– I would say the jury's still out on that one.
Yeah, Dragan Bender, jury's still out on that one. I think he's got some upside, but – you tell me from what you've seen. I haven't seen the growth of these guys. And Robert's on a sixth coach in 8 years out here. That's the thing, too. It's six different voices in 8 years, Charles. That's what's crazy.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But I think it's fair to say the jury's still out on Chris.
Yep.
I think it's fair to say the jury's still out on Bender. Who else?
I mean, Booker and Jackson, in my opinion, are there. T.J. Warren is a very good player. Is he a starting player in this league?
I think Ward's right there. It's another big guy we're missing.
But my point is if you go up the roster and down the roster, the veteran presence on this team, you talked about Tyson earlier, but I'm talking about the impact free agent. You know, you're down there doing the Houston series. You've got Houston and Golden State, the big for Houston, and his name's I'm blanking on his name right now, the kid that
– Capella.
Yeah, Capella's going to be restricted, and I've heard his name all over out here, okay? Is that a kid that comes here and is, to your point, is the kid that is emerging, a player that is emerging? Is that what you're talking about?
I love him, but then now you probably can trade down and get another player because you don't need Aiden and Capella together.
Correct.
So I love Capella. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the NBA. I love his motor. I love his defensive ability. But if you're going to make a move on Capella, you don't need Aiden.
So, you know, those are the names, one of the names that's been out here. How active are they going to be in free agency? That remains to be seen. Are they not going to be used? Let me ask you a couple of things before I let you go, unless you got some other stuff here. You got some other stuff on this one?
Well, I think, number one, you have to be realistic. Suns are not going to win a championship next year.
Right.
So don't go out and spend all your money until your team is starting to get better. The conversation we just had, you got to figure out who's a keeper and who's not a keeper before you start going out spending money on free agency. I mean, you got to get rid of some of the guys you got right now because at some point you got to pay those guys, right?
Yeah. No, in Devin's case,
it's
coming.
You got to make a decision before you go out and try to get other players. Like, okay, we're set at the two guard. We're good for the next 10 years. Okay, well, we got to make a decision on Chris, Bender. Is Lynn also, right?
Alex Lynn's a free agent. He's going to be gone, I think.
So that's a decision you got to make, whether you want to pay him or not. I mean, so you got to make those decisions before you worry about free agents and the draft. Going forward,
you trust this group out here, then Ryan McDonough and Robert, to get this right.
You know, I don't know enough. I've never met McDonough. Robert's fascinating to me. He's always treated me great, and but I've only met him, you know, with the Suns at games and things like that. And I don't go to a lot of Suns games because I don't want to take away from these guys. But he's always treated me great. But I don't hear good things about him. I don't hear good things about Robert. But like I say, I want to make it clear, Robert has always treated me with great respect, and I think I've done the same for him. But word on the street is Robert is not a nice guy. That's the truth.
Let's switch over here to a couple other things before I let you go. You mentioned Josh Rosen earlier, and I know how much a fan you are of the Cardinals when you're back here. You're going to be in Philly this summer, I'm assuming, and then back here when it cools off, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you're not just going to be in Philly because there are a bunch of front-running winners. That's not you, right?
No. Dude, listen, I love Arizona. When I die, I'm going to die in Arizona, but I am not going to live there during the summer. No way.
Josh Rosen comes here, and he did make the comment about nine guys in front of him. What was your initial response when you heard that? It sounded a little bit like a young Charles Barkley. Yes? No.
Yeah, and then somebody smacked me side the head and told me to shut the hell up and just play. Moses Malone slapped me side the head, said, shut up and just play. You'll get your due if you do. But first of all, you don't say that the night of the draft because, you know, that's a big night for guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big night for those guys. And then for you to come out right away and says they made nine mistakes in front of me, you don't rain on. That's their special night. So don't do that. But like I say, man, you got a chance now. You playing for a great organization. I think what Coach Kime and those guys – not Coach Kime, I'm sorry.
Coach Wilkes.
Coach Wilkes, but I actually know Kimer well. So what Kimer and the guys are doing out there, putting together a great franchise. I mean, the Cardinals, man, they ain't the bottom feeders, bad organization they used to be when I first got to Arizona. Now people respect the Cardinals. I know they're going to have a good team. We got a great home field. So he's coming to a great situation. So don't worry. But listen, you went 10th in the draft. You didn't go. It ain't like you're Tom Brady who went 300 or something. You went number 10 in the draft. So that's pretty damn good, I think.
Vegas doesn't think much about the Cardinals this year. Got them at 6. Some places 5.
Over and under?
Wins, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's a – no, listen, they're getting David Johnson back. They got Sam Bradford who's probably going to be starting. I'm taking the over easily.
Yeah. Tough division, though. Tough division.
Yeah, but listen, no. But listen, getting David Johnson back, who arguably is the best running back in the league, and if they get, you know, the quarterback situation, hey, listen, I think they'll be fine. Larry's going to do what Larry does. I mean, no, I'm betting over on that one. I'll take that right now. Anybody want to bet?
When Larry retires, are you going to give him a little 30 seconds of here's what retirement life is like? I know he handles everything right, but athletes, when they walk away for that final time, seem to me to go through this bit of a stretch of I don't really know what to do. I don't think he's going to be like that.
He will be like that. He will be like that. Everybody goes through that because he, you know, Brad, everybody goes through it because you have nothing to do. that's the toughest thing. You have absolutely nothing to do. And I would tell a normal person, like, just wake up one day and don't have and say, I have nothing to do. It's great the first day. It's probably great the second day. By the third day, you would go nuts. You have to find something to do because you have to understand something. When you retire, you're going to be in your mid-30s. That's what people don't understand. Number one, you have nothing to do. And secondly, you're only in your mid-30s. And you're going to – it's tough. It's difficult. And you have to make the hardest thing. You have to figure out, okay, first of all, I'm not going to go get a 9-to-5. Let's be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a – like, you can either be a coach, which is like a real job, which probably sucks. I mean, working – like, being a football coach – when you're in there every single day, you're not around your family or friends, and you work all the time. That's very difficult. There's a few TV jobs. I mean, it's a lot more difficult than people realize. I mean, like I say, your education, it ain't like you're going to go get you a job at Microsoft or Apple. You've been out of the workforce for 20 years, so it's a lot harder than people realize. You have nothing to do, and you have a lot of free time. It's tough, Brad. It's a lot harder. I know everybody's like, these guys are whining. I'm like, no, you don't.
No,
you're 30 years old. You have nothing to do. It ain't like you're gonna go get a regular job and work 9 to 5 like a normal person. That's not gonna happen. I mean, it's a lot harder than people realize.
It's real. You're being real. I have people that come to me saying, you have your own media company. I'm a former athlete. I'm gonna come here. I'm gonna make lots of money. And I'm going to come on your show, and I'm going to do this show and that show. Guys, it's work. You have to get after it every day. And you know, you've put it accurately. You're stealing money being on the set because you're having fun, right?
I mean, but there's not that many TV jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, people act like, I mean, if you look at all these networks, first of all, it's hard to get a job on these networks. Because, and the other thing is, somebody's going to retire every year. We always joke around, like, let me give you an example. Hey, when LeBron James retire, if he want to go into television, somebody's going to get fired. Plain and simple. You know, like, every time a big name retires, like, if Peyton Manning wanted a job, somebody on one of those major networks would be packing their bags as we speak.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
that's true.
But it's hard to get those jobs. I think Larry's got a great enough personality. One of the networks is going to want to hire him. So I think he'll be fine. But if you don't get one of those TV jobs and you don't want to go into coaching, man, you got to find something to do, because 24/7, 365 days a year in your mid-30s with nothing to do is a lot of work. You got to find something.
He told me he has a talent agency that he's running. He watches YouTube videos of magicians, and he has that business. He has a Mail and More. He has his travel agency. So he's got all these businesses that are going on behind the scenes too, which I think is pretty
cool. That stuff is good, but you go need something a little more. Yeah, you can only go to so many meetings.
Yep.
You can only sit in the office for so long. You're going to need something a little more than that. Because we all got a bunch of money, and we could go into the office and sit around with the employees and gab bag every day, and you'd be like, oh, that'll work good for the first 2 weeks. And after that, you'd go insane.
Before I get you out of here, the gambling story on sports going nationwide, what were your thoughts on that? To me, it's great for the average fan, but I'm used to the Europe model. To me, this is going to be great for people here. I don't know your view on it.
I think it's much to do about nothing. People are going to gamble who want to gamble.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the marijuana thing. You know, I don't smoke pot. I got a bunch of friends who do it. It does nothing for me. But just because they got pot legalized, I don't think everybody's going to go out and start smoking pot now. I think the same thing with gambling. People who want to gamble, it's going to make it easier for them. Are going to put a lot of bookies out of business. Going to put a lot of bookies out of business.
Yep.
But like I say, I think it's much to do about nothing. Just it's going to be a lot more money for rich people to fight over. How the teams, how the players divvy it up. I just think it's going to be a lot of fighting over money. But I don't think it's like everybody's not going to start gambling now. Just like I don't think everybody's going to start smoking pot now. I told you, I tried pot like 6 times in my life. All it do is make me want to eat potato chips. I didn't get no, you know, it's kind of like yoga. People always say, I do hot yoga sometimes. I do it just to stretch. I don't get no inner peace. It don't take me to a place. It's just stretching in a hot room. It don't bring no inner peace. It don't take me to a different place.
I appreciate your time. When you're back out here, I want to take you golf boarding. I took our mutual friend Seth Joyner golf boarding.
What the hell is golf?
You ever golf boarding? So I'll send you a video when we get done here. But golf boarding is you're on a board. It's like a surfboard. It's got 4 wheels. Your bag is on the back. There's a cooler. And you just go to your ball. It's completely different experience. I'll take you out to
What's in the cooler?
We can put some stuff in the cooler that you would like, I'm sure of it. Okay, we can get a big cooler for you. But no, you should do it. Seth did it, and he loved it.
Well, count me in if we got something good in the cooler. Count me in.
You're in. I appreciate you as always. Stay well.
Hey, Brad, thank you. Hey, you guys have a great summer. I'll see y'all in the fall.
See you in the fall. Thanks, Charles. It's Charles Barkley with us. Appreciate his time on a lot of fronts. Golf boarding with Charles. That would be fun. It's a lot there to dissect. We had Casey Jacobson about 5 minutes ago scheduled. We'll see if Casey is still with us, and we'll get back to you after this timeout. Then talk to the Lopes at 11. Stay with us. And now to go further into the Suns and what happened last night and what lies ahead for them, if it's a slam dunk decision or not, to take DeAndre Ayton or go a different direction, we bring on board one of the good guys. Casey Jacobson does a great job with FS1 and Pac-12 Network. As a former Suns player, as part of your run in the NBA, Casey, what was your thoughts last night as it came up number one, Phoenix?
Well, you know, that is the first time in Suns history, and they've been a franchise for over 40-something years, or 50 years, isn't it?
50, yeah, 50.
And they celebrate 50. Their 50th yep. anniversary this past year.
Yep.
And they've never had a first overall pick. You know, what hits me is, like, how rare it is. You know, Cleveland is an anomaly. They've had number one pick twice in the last, you know, 6 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. Phoenix has never had it. And there's a couple of teams that haven't either ever had it or haven't had it in over a couple of decades. So that was one of my first thoughts of, wow, 50 years, and this is the first time they've ever gotten to select number one. So good for them. I like this draft, Brad. I don't love it, but I like it. I think there's a lot of good players. I do think that DeAndre Ayton is the clear number one. We can get into that a little bit more if you want. There are a couple other players that I think are undervalued, mm-hmm. And I would consider, you know, working out and seeing if they rival Ayton. But what a great opportunity for the Phoenix Suns. They already have a couple of young pieces. They're still far away, but man, does this help them so much.
Okay, so let's go through this scenario. The turning in the card from your view right now, with the first pick in the NBA draft, you turn the card in. Who is your pick, Casey?
So it's DeAndre Ayton as the number one pick for several reasons. Let's first start with how rare of a talent he is. You don't find guys who are 7 foot, 7 foot one, with footwork, agility, and just the athleticism. He is different than a guy like Greg Oden or even like a young man like Joel Embiid, who we've been watching with the Philadelphia 76ers in the playoffs, in the fact that he is much lighter on his feet for a guy that big. Joel Embiid lumbers down the floor. It almost as if each one of his legs weighs 150 pounds each. That's kind of how I felt about Greg Oden. He was a big man, but he ran as though he weighed about 600 pounds, and that's, I feel like, why he got hurt throughout his career. Andrew Bynum for the Lakers, kind of another example of big guys who are, you know, are just, their bodies aren't meant to handle 82-game regular season and then, you know, whatever, 10-plus games in the postseason if you make it that far. I think DeAndre Ayton is unlike those guys. His body is svelte, it's agile, and he runs easy. He glides on the floor. I think that, I know it's kind of boring, I didn't even talk about his game, but just his body structure, the way he runs, Brad, I think he's going to be more healthy than a lot of these guys that I just mentioned.
The idea of not taking DeAndre Ayton, if you're in the draft room, what would be the argument? Is it that the Suns have a desperate hole there at point guard?
It would be. It is a weakness. It's a weakness for a lot of teams. I would say the bottom half of the NBA, a lot of teams that don't make the playoffs either have a young point guard or they have point guards that just aren't at the level of running a team and being a leader out there. And certainly the Suns have lacked one or the other, either, you know, point guard by committee, young point guards that aren't on the elite level, or point guards that are good but that, you know, don't run the team as well, don't get everybody involved. So, you know, you look at a guy like Luka Doncic, I like him, but I don't love him. Brett, I'm telling you right now, I mean, obviously the Suns aren't going to call me. GM McDonough's not going to call me and ask for my opinion. But I don't think Luka is going to be an all-star in the NBA. I don't think his ceiling is that high. I think he could be a very good player and a starter. But we're talking about the number one pick here, and I think it would be hard pressed to find a reason to take Luka Doncic over DeAndre Ayton as far as what the Suns need and what player has the higher ceiling.
Okay, so if I'm in the room and the Doncic thing comes up, I'm the guy that's waving frantically saying, guys, we have a surplus here of wings. We also have two more first-round picks this year. There's a player named Trae Young who's going to be sitting there around 8, 9, or 10. I don't know if it's possible to move up from the lower part of those first-round picks along with some of the young guys like Marquise Chriss, who, in my opinion, it hasn't worked out for him here in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. It hasn't really worked out yet for Dragan Bender, but I don't want to pull the plug on him yet, but I'd be willing to do so if I could go get a point guard. I've got a first-round pick next year, I believe. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to package a whole bunch of stuff and go get the point guard this year, too. Am I crazy in that regard, Casey? Is that plausible? Is Trae Young worth it? If I'm reading every mock right, he's towards 8, 9, or 10. And do you like him?
I like Trae Young. I was one of those guys, you know, I do a lot of work, college basketball for FS1 and Pac-12.
Sure.
And Trae Young, first half of this college basketball season, Brad, was unlike any that I had seen at the almost. And we're not even talking about just freshmen, which he was at Oklahoma this year. Just in general, I hadn't seen 15 games in college basketball that were as dynamic from the 3-point line. His usage rate, I mean, he was doing everything for Oklahoma, who was unranked in the top 25. To start the year, he got them all the way into the top five. They had only lost one game of their first 15 games. And then he really fell up. Teams got some tape on him. He is small and slight, so when you put a more agile, bigger defender, he does struggle a little bit, and he will settle for 26-footers. So he didn't impress me as far as the season went on. The book was out on him, and he didn't make adjustments as much as I hoped he would.
Mm-hmm.
So I am pulling the reins back a little bit on Trae Young. Still like him, still would draft him in the top 10 if I needed a point guard who could shoot the three, but I don't think he is anywhere near the Steph Curry type of player that we kind of put on him. There's another guy I really like, and Trae Young and this young man went against each other. Colin Sexton at Alabama,
yeah.
I think, is a fantastic prospect. He's stronger than Trae Young, not as good of a shooter. Let's be very clear about that. But in every other aspect, I think he might be better. He's a better competitor. He's better on the defensive end. He's more physically ready to handle the NBA game. So he's a guy that I really like. And there's a couple other value picks that I really like. I think, look, Michael Porter Jr., and I don't know how many other people are going to be talking about this. He's the young man that only played in one regular season game for Missouri. He came back in the postseason, didn't look very good in the postseason. I think that Michael Porter Jr. is a top 2 or 3 player in this draft. He had back surgery, so of course we need to make sure, check the doctor's reports, make sure he's okay. But he is as good of a prospect. He reminds me a little bit of a Jason Tatum. He is a very, very long wing, a 6'10 wing guy that can shoot, who's only going to get better, is super athletic and long. People aren't talking about him like they are about Marvin Bagley because we saw Marvin Bagley dominate at the college level. I think Michael Porter Jr. is a better NBA prospect and should be in the top 3 of this draft.
Oh, that's pretty strong. Casey Jacobson with us. So we've gone through the scenarios of Ayton going Doncic. How about the scenario of what Danny Ainge did most recently, where he trades down a couple, picks up another first-round pick, still has a top pick in the draft, still has one of the top picks in the draft, as he did last year, and just it was terrific. Trading from 1 down to 3 or 4, I would myself not do it. I would take DeAndre Ayton. But trading down and getting extra assets at this point with this franchise, they've been giving that line for too long. You wouldn't trade down, would you?
I wouldn't, and this is situational, Brad. Every draft is different.
Right.
Every team is different, whoever has that first pick. And it depends on the gap between the first pick, the second pick, and everybody else. Usually, regardless of how deep people say a draft is, usually it's top-heavy, right? There's 1, 2, 3 guys that we're having a conversation about, and then usually there's a consensus like, all right, there's a pretty big gap between the rest of the field. Now, of course, this is an inexact science, and everybody gets it wrong. There are guys that get drafted all the time that are low that end up being fantastic. A guy like Donovan Mitchell, who, if we drafted over again, would be the number one pick in the draft.
Best player this year,
sure. How good he would be, right? Yeah. So, you know, it is an inexact science. But in this case, for what the Suns need, And what DeAndre Ayton provides, the fact that he went to high school this past year in Phoenix, two years ago in Phoenix. The fact that he went to U of A last season, he's already an Arizona guy, even though he's born and raised in the Bahamas. He's an Arizona guy. Let's draft him. This makes total sense to me. There's no way I would trade down because I don't think the other guys are quite as good. Although I still really, really like Michael Porter Jr. I really do.
No, I can tell. I can tell. That's good stuff. Anything else that struck you about last night you want to get out before you get out of here?
Well, no, not about the draft. I mean, because again, you know, these ping pong ball things doesn't get me as excited. I'm excited about the Suns getting the first pick. But the rest of the draft order, I really could care less.
Yeah.
I get more excited about like seeing these guys work out and talking to other people about how their workouts went. I have friends, you know, who are coaches with the Lakers and Suns that I ask, and that gets me more excited. And then actually watching the playoff games is really awesome. I'm a LeBron guy, Brad, so I'm really curious to see if LeBron, who's had an unbelievable playoff month. If he could turn this series around being down 0-2, that to me is more interesting than talking about who the Chicago Bulls are going to draft with their seventh pick.
Yeah, I like how you put I'm a LeBron guy because we're in this day and age now where either you don't like him or you love him and there's no middle ground. It's just, it's really interesting. It's Republican and Democrat when it comes to LeBron James. And the people that don't like him, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Well, yeah. I think you and I see eye to eye on this.
Yeah.
I understand that maybe people don't like that LeBron left Cleveland the first time, but then he came back. Look, this guy has been a model citizen. He's been a pioneer of sorts in the NBA with free agency. He's played on one-year contracts to keep his flexibility. We all would do the same in our workplace if we had as much leverage as LeBron James does. The fact is that most people could and will never have as much leverage. They won't be as valuable to what their business is as LeBron is. So I think some resent him for that power. I don't at all. I say good for him. And he's been a great community guy as well. He's been a good teammate from all accounts as well. So good for him.
All right. Let's check off that. Good stuff as always. Appreciate your time. Thanks, Casey.
Thanks, Brad. Have a good week, man.
You too. It's Casey Jacobson. Good stuff there on the draft. Short timeout. Back with more. Talk to the Lopes here in a few minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. The show airs every day live at 10 a.m. We put it into podcast form so you can listen to it in the afternoons or evenings, download it off of iTunes. Just go right to the website and check out our content. Back with more after this timeout. All right, before we get out of here, there's a few things going on. We have the Diamondbacks losing A.J. Pollock 4 to 8 weeks with a fractured left thumb. Those of you that are wanting to go out of your way to tell me that he's always injured, yeah, he's had some injuries, but he plays very hard. There's no question about it. He's been on the DL. I get it. But if you're going to take shots at him, where were you when he was killing it the first 6-7 weeks of the season? Where were you? Don't be one of these trolls that just sits there and waits for adversity before you take a shot at somebody. It's uncalled for. There's a press conference tomorrow for the Alliance of American Football. Actually, I'm sorry, not tomorrow, Friday. I'm already ahead of my week. Friday, there's a press conference that Ray Anderson is going to be at. Jared Allen is going to be at. The head of Alliance Phoenix is going to be at. This is the new football league that is going to play at Sun Devil Stadium. As we've talked about, Ray Anderson has got to find other events to put in Sun Devil Stadium. You can't just go sell sponsorship for 6 games a year and make money off it. That building cannot sit there vacant. So there's going to be a new brand of football that comes to town. I can't sit here today and tell you anything more than I know a few of the names that are going to be on their coaching staff, and that's it. I don't know that much about it, but I know that this Friday there's going to be another football team being announced coming to Phoenix. And the fact that Jared Allen is flying in on it, he's an investor. He's a players relation executive for the Alliance of American Football. It's pretty strong. It's very strong. Charles Ebersol is going to come in. The name Ebersol, if it rings a bell, it should if you're into the broadcasting world at all, from Dick Ebersol. So there's going to be some TV behind it. It's really interesting that Ray Anderson is going to be front and center and that Jared Allen is going to be front and center, and that's this Friday. So more on that on tomorrow's show. Up next, it's Talk to the Lopes. Tom Flood will be with us. talk to the Lopes every week. We talk GCU athletics. That's on the other side. And then if you just caught the tail end of the show, it repeats over and over and over throughout the day right here on this channel on sports360az.com. Charles Barkley in his entirety and Casey Jacobson as well throughout the next 24 hours. We also put it over on the podcast. Check out our website, sports360az.com. Talk to the Lopes is next. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University athletics. This week we focus in on the sport of track and field. A lot of athletes to go through. I'll let Tom Flood do that since he is the head coach. He knows all about them. I wanted Tom on the show because it's a big time for GCU track and field. The first year the Lopes will be eligible to take athletes to the NCAA West Regions. The list comes out later this week. GCU won the men's and women's team titles outdoors for the first time since 2016. Tom, nice enough to join us before he heads out to practice. I guess I'll just start with congratulations. There's nothing
thanks,
else.
Thanks, Brad. It was just another – we won both men and women's 2 years ago in Lawrence, and we won it again, so we kind of like going to Lawrence, Kansas.
That's good stuff. Does this season surprise you that you're doing this and accomplishing this? Most coaches would say – I've got great athletes, or at the start of this year, was it, we're going to be pretty good. I don't know if we're going to be this good.
No, not this year. It didn't surprise us. We've won 10 of the last 12 WAC conference titles, men and women's. The two we gave up were last year's outdoor titles. We redshirted, 60-plus points on the women's side and 30-plus points on the men. Focusing on this year, we redshirted a lot of those seniors last year. So those athletes will have that one opportunity now at the end of our transition to go to the NCAAs this year. So we knew going in that our men's team was going to be awfully tough to beat. We won by 84 points. We thoroughly dominated the last day of competition. And the girls led from start to finish. And we were fortunate enough to hang on and sweep and repeat outdoor champs too.
What events were you most pleased with?
Oh, gosh. The last day, our men's sprinters and hurdlers just thoroughly dominated. I didn't add up their total points that we started off the day. Our men's pole vault's always been really good for us. So I would say that on the guys' side. The women, it was kind of a collective. Both were team efforts, but our women's vaulters did well. We went 1-2 in the women's hurdles. But by far, I think the best, she was performer of the meet, was Tara Sue Barnett's discus. So that's what we're most excited about kind of ahead in the next couple of weeks for her at Nationals.
Sorry about that. Tom Flood with us, GCU track and field head coach. Talk to the Lopes this week. We focus in on GCU track, sports360az.com, and we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I know in an individual sport like track and field, you do have the team events, of course, the relays and that, but a player or two that came along this year that you felt like, well, they might be pretty good, but they actually did more than you thought.
Oh, God, there were several on the guys. I think Ryan Girk won the sprint title again, but a little too much wind in the 100 meters, but running 10-11 in any condition is, you know, almost a world-class time, and he followed it up with a NCAA wind legal 2051. Anthony Phelps had a great hurdle double. Isaac, a lot of the lap races, it was a little windy in Kansas, so any of the lap races were very difficult to get through. Scott Marshall, he was our indoor qualifier again, had a great meet. Women's-wise, we've got a couple of vaulters, girl vaulters, going to this NCAA West Region. Tara Sue Barnett, who we've known all about, she's our Olympian. She set a Mountain West Conference record there in the discus. Broke an ex-athlete of mine at Colorado State's, Shelley Borman's long-standing, from like 1998, conference record.
When you talk about Tara Sue Barnett and you mention Olympics, do you have any others that you look at and say Olympic pipeline possibility at this point? You might say, Brad, there's dozens of them, or you may say, right now there's a few. Take me down that path of Olympians potentially.
Well, Olympians, I think this year we're a little more focused on the NCAA folks. I think we're going to take 11, at least 11 for sure, to this NCAA West Region. Mm-hmm. We'll know tomorrow at 10 a.m. our time. We may sneak in 5 or 6 more or so. In our first year, to take almost a dozen athletes to the West Region would be quite a great accomplishment for us. Our goal was to kind of take as many. And it looks like we're going to do that regardless as the rest of the WAC combined teams do. So from there, we're hopeful. Tara Sue She looks like a slam dunk of going, and she could possibly be our the GCU's first Division I national champion in the discus. And we'd like to see Scott Marshall. He qualified for indoors, possibly qualify for the men's outdoor in the pole vault. Marcus Flanagan's got a great shot in the long jump, as I do think Kayla Finnegan also in the women's long jump. Those are the ones right off the top of my head. Ryan Girk right now has positioned himself that he might be top 12 and go to nationals in the 200. And Anthony Phelps might have a good shot possibly of doing it in the intermediates.
The West regionals, difference in terms of intensity, is it all the same? Take fans through that, of your players being ready to compete at that next level. Do you feel good about that coming in?
It's all new to us. We haven't done this for 5 years since our Division II days, where we were very successful at the national level. So we've kind of tailor-made our schedule this year to include the Texas relays and the Mount SAC relays. So the Terrasus and Scotts and Marcuses of our roster get to see this, the national, the top in the nation, you know, on more than one occasion, so they don't kind of show up to the region and be a little bug-eyed. They've competed against these guys throughout the season, or girls throughout the season, so we feel they're kind of ready to go. We like the region concept because it is head-to-head. You qualify based on a descending order list, like in the dashes, that can be all kinds of different wind conditions. I think we had more wind in Kansas on just one day alone than I think Phoenix gets in a whole year. So, but we were very blessed. It didn't have any rain or tornadoes delays like we did 2 years ago. So we're excited to watch our kids go head-to-head, and it's all new to them. We've kind of pointed to it, and I think they're very excited to get on the plane next Tuesday and go to Sacramento.
What has this done in terms of recruiting to take it to this level?
I think it really put kind of slammed the brakes 5 years ago when we announced that we were going Division One. I had a lot of athletes I was recruiting off our D1 success, or D2 success, that it just was kind of buzzkill. It was just a deal breaker that just they possibly wouldn't be able to go to the NCAA during their 4 years, or to redshirt them 1 year like we did our seniors. They did stick and commit with us, and we thought we owed that to them this year to give them that one opportunity. But it's been a slow build. Last year's class, we've got some very talented kid. On the guy's side, we redshirted an athlete that's he should be a qualifier next year easily for us if we keep him healthy. But it really has. We're in the running and got some big fish on the reel right now in the recruiting battles, and we've got a few in the boat, and we'll look hopefully this next week to have about a handful more in our program.
Good stuff there. I appreciate your time, Tom. As always, thanks.
All right, appreciate it, Brad. Thank you. Take care.
You too. There's Tom Flood with us, GCU track and field head coach. And that is Talk to the Lopes this week.